And tonight, this hour, we'll have a dream coach for you, Kelly Sullivan Walden. I'll tell you a little bit more about Kelly in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Kelly Sullivan Walden is a dream coach specializing in empowering people to live the life of their dreams. And she began her career as a dream sloth at the age of 5. Kelly, you got to tell us, how did this all happen for you?
I used to, my younger sister and I shared a bedroom, and we would dream together, and we would wake up in the morning and we would talk about our dreams, and we would even fight in our dreams, and we would solve puzzles in our dreams, and we were just crazy sleuths, not sloths, but and we were kind of crazed with dreams and tarot and all kinds of stuff. And I started interpreting dreams at a young age, about between five and seven, and I haven't stopped. It's just picked up steam. I became a hypnotherapist about 15 years ago and started doing this for a living, you know, delving into people's subconscious minds and helping people to become more fulfilled and drop the fear and express who they are and why they came here and just get to it already, for God's sakes. And dreams are a way to expedite that process. So,
did you get better and better as the years went on, as you know, from a little child to an adult?
I would hope so. I think so. I mean, I think that children, you got to listen to them because they, whatever comes out of their mouth is pretty pure. So I think in a way I try to hold on to that same innocent place, but I've got a larger vocabulary to express myself, but I think it's kind of a continuum. I think I'm better. I hope I'm better.
Do you get involved in intuitive dreams, lucid dreams, all of that too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You open up the door to dreams, and you open up the door to the mystery and to the magical and to the infinite. So you can't open up that door and just think you're going to have an ordinary experience. I mean, you're going to, you know, crazy things happen. And I mean, the crazy to the ego, normal mind, but ordinary to the dream mind. It's ordinary to connect with dead relatives. It's ordinary to have glimpses into the future. It's ordinary to see strange creatures and to do battle with Darth Vader and Darth Vader-esque kind of things. And, you know, so it all depends on what perspective you're looking at it from. But yes, I am curious and excited and inspired by everything that is on the other side of that door.
Kelly, does every dream have a meaning behind it?
If I had to give you an answer on that, I would say yes. I've had some dreams myself that just seem really stupid and boring, and if I take the time to look at them, I'm always floored by something magical that it reveals. I don't think there's really a throwaway dream out there. I think every single dream is worth taking a look at. And I mean, some dreams that people are about to cast away and they just kind of say, oh, I just dreamt about blah, blah, blah. And they'll say something and then I'll say, wait, excuse me? That's huge. That could change your life. Wait a minute, back up. So, you know, it just to our rational mind, they seem strange, but to the dream mind, it's just the language of our soul, and it's a way for us to expedite becoming more soulful, intuitive, awake human beings.
Do you think dreams are created in the brain or in this form of consciousness that we all have?
All of it. It's a dance between the two. So two people can have had a discussion about tic-tac-toe before they go to sleep. And so they can have that in their mind, but the dream that those two people will have that will be a springboard from that ordinary thing will be completely different based on the soul of those two people. So I think it's a blend.
Now, as a dream coach,
what
do you do? How do you help people?
Aye. Well, you know, it's under a big umbrella called hypnotherapy and dreams. So I work with people as a regular therapist with issues that people have. But it seems that dreams always come up in a session or in a conversation. And so I've found that when I can talk about a person's dream, if people will take the time to remember their dreams and we start talking about it, I feel like it takes the session to a whole other level. It's like you don't take the stairs anymore, you take the escalator, and you go right to the soul, right to the heart of what's going on. So I ask people to remember their dreams, and usually if you do a hypnotherapy session, it stirs up the subconscious mind and it kind of awakens a person to become more in tune to what's on the other side for them. So I hope that answers your question. I mean, mostly I'm just attuned to dreams. People ask me about dreams all the time, and it seems like I get more and more emails with people asking. And now it's Facebook. I'm getting Facebook messages and Twitter.
It's gone viral, hasn't it?
It's gone viral. This whole waking world is really a bridge between this world and that world. I mean, everything in this world for me is a connector between the other world, and it's magical. I feel like it's magical, and even when you're dealing with the scary dreams that people have, I have a context of looking at it that even can put a frame around the most terrifying dream and see that there's, you know, that life is still good and worth living.
Do you sometimes stumble into via hypnotherapy reincarnation with some of the subjects?
Oh yeah.
You do.
Oh yeah, there's been times when there was somebody that came to see me for smoking cessation, and I thought that's what we were going to do, and the person they started speaking with a different voice, they started crying. It was a guy who was like a carpenter. He didn't seem mystically inclined at all. He seemed like a kind of ordinary guy that just wanted to quit smoking.
Sure.
But I put him into that relaxed state that helps to connect hemispheres of the brain and helps to connect this world to the other, and you never know what's going to happen. So he started channeling and crying and had this phenomenal catharsis and actually started channeling some information for me, which really blew my mind, because that's not normally what happens. Normally it's for the client, but you never know what you're going to get when you enter into hypnosis or if you pay attention to dreams. You really, you know, you past lives come through, and info from this, you know, departed loved ones. You just have to say yes to it.
It's an incredibly powerful tool if you know how to master it, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. I think the reason why people ask me if I'm scared, because a lot of the dreams that I get are scary, because usually a person, if they're having good dreams, they kind of keep it to themselves. They don't seek out help or support if they're having happy dreams. So I get a lot of scary dreams, and I love them, actually, because I see that there's great potential for transformation within those dreams. My basic life philosophy is that life is good. I think it was Einstein that said the most important question you can ask is this universe friendly? And in spite of the tragedies, in spite of the trauma, in spite of the injustices, my conviction is that, yes, it is friendly. It is a friendly universe. Ultimately, there's order. There's love. There's beauty here. And because of that, I see nightmares, even the scariest ones, as a doorway to freedom and peace if you will take the steps to get there. I mean, sometimes it can be a scary path to get there, but if you go there, it is. I mean, I've had those kind of dreams myself that I thought, okay, there's nothing redeeming about this dream. This is just hell. But I've worked them, done some dream theater work with them, done some different work, and lo and behold, there's a door through it that leads to tremendous liberation. And I can share some of those with you. I don't know if you want to know my dirty laundry, but
not all of it.
Well, there was one dream that I had that I woke up crying and screaming, and my pillow was soaked. My dream was that my father had shoved me into a silverware drawer and wrapped plastic around me.
Oh.
And there was it was another me that was in the kitchen that was observing this,
watching it,
and allowing it to happen, and acting fine, acting like it was okay. And at some point, I realized that the Kelly in the drawer was going to die, and that the part of me that was in denial went, "Get her out!" and busted her out of the drawer, opened up her mouth so she could breathe, and said, "You're not going to do this to her." And I woke up and I realized that I had just busted through a level of denial and a level of trauma that I had experienced, not from my father necessarily, but from the masculine, from my own masculine that had shoved me in a drawer and tried to conceal my wildness or whatever that would be. And so once I worked through that dream, there was tremendous empowerment and liberation. And that's just, I mean, it doesn't sound like it was that traumatic, but being in a silver wardrobe with plastic over your face is not a lot.
And that's bizarre, Kelly. That is bizarre. You don't...
Even to you?
Even to me, believe me. If I say it's bizarre, trust me, it's bizarre.
With a capital B.
People can use their dreams... Mm-hmm. to change their lives, to get things done, to have problems solved. You just let it happen. Why is it that when you just kind of chill on it, right, and you go to sleep and you think about it, as opposed to pushing and doing, it never happens that way. But when you just sit back and let it happen, whether it's a job, a relationship, whatever, mm-hmm. it seems to work. Now, you have to prepare yourself for it. You got to be ready when the moment comes. You know, if you want to be a great politician, mm-hmm. you better be a great politician before it comes. But if you just lay back and just think about it and sleep on it, these things seem to happen. How come?
It's so true. Well, it seems that humans, we want to be smart. If we can't figure something out right away, then we have to go into denial about it. We have to say, oh, well, that must not be important, and we want to just get it out of our minds. But if we can do what you just said, and just, I always tell people to just marinate in the energy of the dream. If you can just be patient and not have to be so smart so quick, then it will start to speak to you. And there's a saying that which you love will reveal its secrets to you. So if you can learn to love your dreams, if you can respect your dreams as this oracle that has amazing wisdom for you, you just have to court it like a guy that's going to date a girl that he's in love with. You can't just jump her bones right away. You got to court her. You got to take her out to dinner. You got to call her. You got to make small talk. You got to do all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, she'll reveal herself to you.
Like in one way or another.
In one way or the other. Exactly. But it is about having patience and that tension. It's okay. And I tell people that journaling is a really great way to bridge the gap so that you're not just sitting there in outer space just twiddling your thumbs, not knowing what to do. So I'll wake up in the morning, and I encourage clients to wake up in the morning immediately, write down any little snippet of any dream that you can remember, whether it's an epic dream or just a dream about your toenails, whatever it is, just write down whatever pieces that you can remember and journal about what do those symbols mean to you, how does that relate to what's happening in your current life. And as you're journaling and just kind of meditating as you journal, you'll begin to percolate. And if you can sit there meditating / journaling, contemplating that dream, you'll start to have some clarity. And then start, as you go about your day, start to notice where you start to see little themes from your dream. You notice somebody, I had a dream about bunnies last night, and then somebody I know started telling me about bunnies today. And then I got a call actually from your producer today who's telling me about bunnies in her dream. So it's like, okay, pay attention to bunnies. What's starting to multiply? What's fertile? You know, what's wanting to jump around and be wild and even innocent in that way? So pay attention. And there's something about just paying attention, not having to figure it out. If you can do that, then it will start to reveal its secrets to you.
I want to give you two scenarios. Tell me what you think could happen. One is two individuals. They both get degrees, let's say, in computer science, and they're both having problems getting jobs.
Okay.
One of them goes to sleep every night. He's positive. He's upbeat. He knows he's going to send out his resumes and things like that. But he's very positive about this, and he's confident. He goes to bed. What happens to him in his pursuit?
You mean as he? What's the real life component to what's going to happen?
What will happen based on that attitude, going to sleep like that, thinking positively about this?
Oh, that's absolutely going to influence his dreams, and your dreams cannot not influence your waking life. In fact, the scenario that you just painted is really an important one. I tell people to write their bedtime story before they go to sleep and read it just as they're about to go to bed. So write out a scenario, whether it be in bullet points or as a narrative, the scenario that you want to create. So this guy wants a job in computers, and he sees himself sitting at the desk and smiling and feeling like he's found his purpose, and it's exhilarating, and he's making money, and he just... paint the picture of that and go to sleep with the feeling tone as if it was present tense, and allow that to influence your dreams, or at least be the beginning stage of your dreams. And you'll dream to a certain degree about that. And in the morning, there's that saying about how we, it's about sabotage. Sometimes we manifest something that we want and we'll sabotage it because we don't feel worthy or deserving of it, or we haven't acclimated to it. But if you dream about it or you contemplate that thing that you want prior to going to bed, it'll start to marinate into your cells. It'll start to become ordinary to you so that you'll have to attract it into your life, and you won't have to sabotage it, because it's not like this guy's going to attract the computer job to him and think it's so unfamiliar that he has to block it out. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it is. And then the fellow who does the same thing, he's got the degree in computer science, but he thinks negatively. I'm not going to get this job. It's not going to happen for me. What's wrong? I bet he doesn't get the job. I bet in his dream state, nothing good happens for him.
Well, your point of view, I mean, everybody who's listening to your show, I'm sure, has seen the movie The Secret and knows that whole world about how your thoughts create worlds and all of that. So, and there's some people I know, actually, just to be devil's advocate for a second, that have a pessimistic point of view because they're very realistic or pragmatic, and they do manifest things in spite of their negative attitude. So you can't, it's not completely black and white, but it tends to be the case that if a person is going to be feeling a certain way that's heavy and kind of contracted around that job, then the universe isn't going to deliver that in an easy, effortless way. So that person's not a landing pad. I always imagine the thing that you want is like a helicopter, and you have to create a landing pad for that helicopter to land. You got to get the dry brush out of the way and make it so it's clear and inviting. So if the person's going to bed feeling funky about it, they're discouraged about it, then you're right. He's probably not going to manifest that thing that he wants or she wants. So it's a really brilliant way to expedite the process of getting from A to B, A being where you are, B being where you want to be, to contemplate it as if it was present tense in the most joyous, happy, peaceful, comfortable, and I underline comfortable, way. So that when you manifest that, it feels ordinary to you, because you're not going to have to push away something that is ordinary. You push away something that is, it seems too good to be true.
All right. Will you stay with us, Kelly? We're going to take phone calls with you next. People, of course, will have questions about dreams and what they mean. Kelly Sullivan Walden's websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie, and I'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, open lines next hour, and I'm going to ask you for a little favor for part of the program. Boy, it's going to be a weird one, but I'll do that next hour. When we come back, let's take your phone calls with the Dream Coach, Kelly Sullivan Walden, on Coast to Coast AM. Kelly, is it true that some people cry in their dreams?
Definitely.
I mean, physically they're crying, not in the dream crying. They're physically asleep crying. What causes that?
Well, there's some dreams that people have that are so vivid, and I've had those myself, and I've had clients that have had those that are absolutely cathartic. And I mean, some people will laugh in their dreams. Some people, you know, there's people that sleepwalk and
talk
and battle demons and battle entities in their dreams. There's all kinds of things that people do. It's their whole bodies become engaged. That's rare. It's not a typical kind of a thing. I would say if a person has a dream like that, pay attention to what the dream was about, because it's one that the cosmic highlighter pen is calling attention to. So it's something to be aware of and pay deep attention to.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We don't have a lot of time, but we've got a lot of callers. So we go to Brooke, Indiana. Rachel, first-time caller. Hey, Rachel, good morning.
Hi, nice to talk to you guys.
Okay.
Hi, Rachel. Hi. I had a question for you. Actually, last night, me and my brother were talking. I had a dream earlier this week. I was driving in my car. It was like early afternoon, no traffic, nothing going on. And all of a sudden, I get sucked up out of my vehicle into the sky. And I don't know if it was a portal or what it was, but I was telling my brother about this dream last night, because when I woke up from my dream, I knew I got to tell my brother about this. Well, when I was talking to him about it last night, his eyes started to water because he said he had the same exact dream about a month or two ago. Just kind of gave us the heebie-jeebies, and I didn't know if there's any meaning behind it or why we both had the same dream.
I would definitely think that's an important dream to pay attention to. I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show. I was saying that my sister and I used to dream in tandem like that, and we're very psychically connected. So I would say it's a confirmation about your connection with your brother. But let's just quickly look at the symbolism of it. Driving in your car, that's something that people dream about a lot. When I see that, it represents it's the vehicle of your life. It's kind of your body. It's the way you do life. And you're getting sucked out of it, pulled up through the roof and out. To me, that symbolizes that you are somebody. Something's getting your attention. You're being called to pay attention to a larger reality than what the normal mundane vehicle is paying attention to. And the fact that your brother is having something similar, it means that there's a collective wisdom that the two of you are connecting with. That perhaps because you've got a partner in that, it'll help to solidify it and make it more real, and maybe you'll be able to do something with it and actually fulfill. Perhaps there's a, you know, this is part of your soul agreement with your brother to explore what goes on beyond the scope of the body. So I would say it's an important one to pay attention to and see what comes next, and continue to pay attention to your dreams and compare them with your brothers.
Kelly, like the tandem dream with your sister, I've heard stories people have called this program where two people in far-off places have similar dreams. One guy had a dream of a woman that he, I guess, fell in love with in his dream state, didn't know her. He's at the airport, and he sees her walking down, you know, and he goes, oh, my God, that's her, that's her. And as she got within 30, 40 feet of him, she stops and says the same thing about him. She was dreaming about him. They ended up getting married.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Well,
that's,
I love those stories.
Isn't it great? Just another testament to pay attention to your dreams. I mean, that they're pointing the who, what, why, where, and when of where you should be and what you should be doing and who you should be doing it with. And it's just, it helps to quicken that process. So, yeah, it's, wouldn't it be great if we didn't need phones to talk on, if we didn't need the radio, if we could just
one day
so in sync with each other that we could just feel each other and anticipate our thoughts. And I feel like paying attention to the dreams is a way to expedite that. Listening to your radio show for sure is a way for us to be all in sync right now and expedite that process. But it's so cool when people who don't even know each other validate that they've been dreaming the same thing.
Let's go to Romulus, Michigan, very close to Detroit Metropolitan Airport. Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Tony.
How you doing? I'm a skeptic. I'm going to lay it out flat. I don't believe in anything, but I had a weird dream when I was young. I mean, I had a dream about my grandfather. He came to me and he told me, Tony, I'm going on a long trip and I won't see you for a while. And he says, but I'll see you soon. Don't be sad. And then my mother woke me up and told me my grandfather had just passed away.
Oh, my.
And I'm a total skeptic about everything. I have a hard time believing UFOs, ghosts, and all that stuff. I mean, if there's no scientific proof for it, I really just don't believe it. But this was just like totally blew my mind, and it's really weird.
Are you a believer in this, Tony? Do you think you were visited?
No, I don't believe in kind of that kind of stuff. But I was just—it's just really odd. I mean, it's hard to believe, you know, what's real and what's not real, and I don't know. It just really creeped me out and it scared me. Do you know what I mean?
Let's take him through it. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, Tony, I mean, the first thing is that you don't have to believe anything. I mean, you had your own experience. That's what's so great about dreams is that you don't have to stretch your imagination to believe anything. You had an experience. Even if just what happened in your dream was just what it was, that was worth that was something. That was beautiful. You don't have to even think about what's beyond that. But it might open a little window in your mind to consider that, you know, your grandpa loves you. And he loved you, and he wanted you to be connected with him. And it just, I mean, does it, I know sometimes when I've been overwhelmed by love, or the first time I saw a quote-unquote dead person, or the first time I left my body, it freaked me out. Sometimes the most wonderful gifts that come to us, our first response is fear. And then once we acclimate to it, we realize, wait a minute, it was just love that was coming your way. And you just didn't have the context to be able to receive it. But can you get that, you know, it was love?
And was he intuitive, or was the grandfather the one who wanted to communicate with him in the dream?
I think Tony must have had some opening. I mean, really, just loving somebody is enough of an invitation to invite a connection. So it's the grandfather was definitely the grandfather was in more of a place to be otherworldly and make that connection. But I think it was cool that Tony at least was open enough to open the door and say, hey, Grandpa. And then when you woke up and freaked out. But I would say, Tony, you know, there's a lot of love out there for you. And it might be a good thing to just open to it, you know, baby step by baby step. You don't have to take any quantum leaps.
Let's go to Crystal, truck driving in California. She's with us on the wild card line. Crystal, go ahead.
Hi. Please don't think I'm crazy, but I do have a question about three reoccurring dreams I've had for a long time.
I'm not going to think you're crazy. You're speaking to the choir.
Well, the first one, I think it's because I drive too much. I dream I'm flying in my truck. I'm flying it and landing it. All through traffic.
I think that's a wish fulfillment dream.
The other one is I get dreams about somebody. I'm in a desert. It's a clean desert. I mean, it's nothing but sand and dunes. So sand's not white, but it's almost white. It's just the palest tan, and there's a light breeze, blue sky. That's all it is, sand and sky. And there's somebody there named Gideon who the whole dream. He tells me his name is Gideon, and the whole dream is he tells me not to go near the water. But it's very peaceful and calm. I love having that dream.
Wow. Well, sounds like he could be some guide, you know, a spirit guide of some form, and perhaps somebody that you did have past lives with. That would be definitely, I would suggest a past life regression just to explore the fact that you have a specific name and that it keeps coming up. As a side note, anytime there's a recurring dream, to me, I always look at that as there's a message that's trying to be sent, but you're not receiving it completely. And it sounds like you're receiving it to a certain degree. You have a lot of pleasure associated with this dream, but it keeps coming back because I think there's more to it than what you've allowed. It'd be interesting to know what happened in the water with you and Gideon, or what might happen in this lifetime near the water if you're not careful. I don't know that it necessarily means avoid the beach entirely for the rest of your life, but perhaps be very aware. Don't get drunk. Don't be crazy. Don't be stupid, or, you know, excuse my language.
Well, there are warnings in your dream state, right?
There were what?
Warnings in your dreams.
Yeah. It seems like this dream is warning her, and perhaps it relates to, I mean, it could relate to the past. We don't know. We don't know exactly if it's past or future, but in any case, it's worth exploring deeper. And it might actually be both. Sometimes if there's something traumatic that happened in the past, then you kind of have to revisit it again in order to complete it or to come out on top. come out victorious as opposed to being victimized by whatever happened. But it sounds like one cool thing is that you've got this connection with this character, Gideon, in this beautiful desert. With most people associate the desert with it being kind of bland and bleak, but it sounds like it's just a wide open space for your soul to be in contact. So I think it's great, and I would highly suggest taking it a step deeper and finding out more about who this Gideon character is.
Next up, we go to Stu in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Stu, thanks for holding.
Yeah. Over the years, I've had a couple of very quick one-scene dreams, which I've often wondered might have been glimpses into a past life. In the first dream, I was back in the year 1919. I was riding in the back seat of an open touring car. I was a newspaper reporter interviewing President Wilson, who was riding in the seat in front of me.
Hmm.
And in the second dream, I was at Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1937 at the official inquest following the Hindenburg disaster.
My, oh my.
Oh, and my God.
I could see no connection at all with the dream about President Wilson. Now, for the Hindenburg, I think it was about the time the Hindenburg movie was coming out that starred George C. Scott. And I've always been fascinated with the Hindenburg story.
Well, the fact that you're getting dates and the fact that you're getting so much specific information tells me that you have a connection with this, whether you were actually there or not. You got to look at, in order to get the full benefit from the dream, you got to look at it figuratively and literally. So look at the literal aspect of it. Look up those dates. Look up what was there, and what does that mean to you? I mean, our purpose here, I think, is to fulfill a mission of some kind, and these dreams are fodder for that. They're helping to they're pushing you toward solving the puzzle of your life or fulfilling something. So it's good that you've paid attention to those. And I also look at the symbolic aspect of it. Where are you a reporter? Where are you inquisitive in your life? Where is there a disaster that you're wanting to find completion or answers around? So great dreams, great specific details, and explore them further and see what those how those can help you become even more actualized in your life, Stu. Thank you for sharing those.
Kelly, can you practice to put yourself in someone else's dream?
Definitely. Well, you can practice doing that, and you can actually do it. One thing that I started doing with people, with groups, is dream theater, where we take it actually goes back to the Iroquois Indians and other Aboriginal cultures practice this, where especially not only if there's a disturbing dream, but primarily people do this to help facilitate a dreamer to find resolution with a dream that left them feeling disturbed. So you cast, it's like a circle of people, and the dreamer tells their dream, and then they cast people to come and physically step into the dream and improvise the dream, and then they're coached. It's what I do. It's kind of like the tribal shamans of old would say, now how would you fulfill this dream, or how would you complete it or pick it up where it left off? So if there's a 9/11 dream where there's buildings burning and the person wakes up terrified, you would go back inside that dream and you would cast people as the buildings or as the terrorists or as the different people that are significant and see how you might resolve it, either by changing something that happened in the dream or picking it up where it left off and bringing it to a place of exaltation. And you don't have to necessarily do that physically. That's a great gift if you have a group of dreamers that will work with you in that way. But if you're on your own and you want to step into somebody else's dream through a meditative process, and just by being psychically connected to them, you certainly can step into their dream to a certain degree. Some people can literally step right in and feel the feelings and see everything that they're seeing. Or you might be doing it to a certain degree. But yes, you can connect to somebody else's dream world.
Okay, let's go now to West Hartford, Connecticut. Elisa, hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
This is my first time calling. I love your show.
Glad you got in.
I have kind of a multi-prompt. I'll try to keep it simple. First of all, Kelly, I'm just, I love what you're saying.
Thank you.
I've been studying and recording my dreams for a long time. And thank you. And I've been reading the book by Robert Moss, The Secret History of Dreaming. Anyway, here's the thing. I'm in a point in my life, I'm 50. Well, I don't want to get my age out of here. But
why not? Be proud of it. It's all good. You've earned those years.
Thank you. I haven't been working this year, and I am just feeling kind of lost in terms of career. But I just thought of, when you were just sharing that about what you just said, I was in graduate school at one time. I earned a master's in dance, and I did a piece called Dream Cartography, which we had to do improvisation, and I didn't like doing improv. I thought it was, you know, because I was classically trained, and you just reminded me of that, and so that was really
fantastic thing.
I've been dreaming again lately, and I seem to be able to help my friends, but I can't seem to. Anyway, this is the thing. I had two dreams recently, both about tigers.
All right, just give us one because we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
One tiger dream, and the tiger was very, very, very long and tall, and he had like golden fur, and I was kind of protecting these two young girls in front of what seemed to be a Christmas tree, and it was also a nickname of my father, and I had just had my car repaired the day I had this dream. This was only about...
What was the nickname?
I'm sorry?
What was the nickname?
Tiger.
Oh, okay.
And so, I don't know if it was... But he used to fix cars, and he's not here anymore.
Mm.
And the tiger was very, very, very long and golden fur, and I was terrified, and I was completely frozen, because I was afraid he was just going to eat us or, you know, kill me and eat me. And then he finally kept going around us, and he finally just went away.
40-second answer, Kelly. Go ahead.
My hunch on this one is that tiger is a shadow aspect of your own power. And the reason that you're not employed right now and you're kind of suffering is because you haven't completely stepped into that power, and it's on the outside looking in. You are that amazing, powerful creature, and you're not going to use your power to devour or to hurt anyone. You can use it for good and to dance and to create. So embrace that inner tiger and know that she's not to be afraid. Don't be afraid of her.
Kelly's got a book out called I Had the Strangest Dream. Where's it available, Kelly?
It's available everywhere. Books are sold, Amazon.com. On my website, if you want an autographed copy, you can go to IHadTheStrangestDream.com, and you can also go to DreamProjectUN.org. But you can get my book on IHadTheStrangestDream.com, and I'll be happy to autograph that
great
for you.
Kelly, thanks, and good luck to you. Great insight here.
So exciting being on your show, George. I love your show, and thanks for all your listeners. I love this.
Well, you handled them like a champ. Thank you so much. Kelly Sullivan Walden, I will be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with a couple hours of open lines now. And, you know, funny that we're talking about dreams and sleep, because that has a little bit to do with the hotline. I'll tell you about that when we come right back.